They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The world's second biggest economy promises to open its doors to foreign banks. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. China today pledged to continue opening up its financial markets. The announcement comes on the same day the U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer arrive in Beijing to restart talks. These are aimed at ending the year-long trade spat. The BBC's Victoria Craig has more.
At the annual Boao Forum, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang said today the country will work more quickly to open financial market access to foreign investors in the banking, securities, and insurance sectors. Mr. Li said the country will sharply reduce restrictions on the ability of financial companies, like credit ratings firms and foreign banks, to do business in the country. It'll also help foreign investors trade Chinese bonds. He also said Beijing is working on more favorable rules for foreign companies to buy Chinese-listed ones. Mr. Li said the new measures will go into effect this year, quote, in a relatively forceful way. While it might be music to foreign investors' ears, it's a chorus we've heard before. Global businesses have long complained about restrictive policies in China, and Beijing last year pledged to address the problem when its trade spat with the U.S. began. These changes come amid slowing global growth, including in China. Last year, expansion of the world's second biggest economy slowed to 6.6%, its weakest pace in almost three decades. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mixed. Stocks in China trimmed early declines after Reuters reported the U.S. and China trade talks have made progress in all areas, though there's still no timetable for a deal. The British pound, meanwhile, is lower after a series of inconclusive votes in Parliament last night. They were meant to provide clarity on an alternative way forward to Prime Minister Theresa May's exit deal. And Iceland budget airline WOW Air has ended operations and cancelled all scheduled flights. That after it said Sunday a rescue deal from Iceland Air would not materialize. Now, we are kind of tired of covering Brexit, but luckily this week we've got some backup all the way from LA. My colleague Kai Rizdal is here, American-splaining Brexit, which is welcome, by the way. He's been out talking to Samantha Wallace in London's Borough Market. She sells spices, preserves and condiments, and this is what happens when he brings up Brexit.
You see my face has gone very rigid, like, oh. Well, we have two problems around Brexit. One is we employ Europeans in our shops, so we work with European people who lived here and have been here for years and years and years and have had no problem, but now with Brexit there is potentially a problem. The other thing is that we work with small producers from around the world, and a lot of our honey comes from small producers in Europe. They rely on us a lot for their income. We are one of their major buyers. So we often buy a whole year's supply of honey from a family of beekeepers. And that is a massive income stream for them. But also it's a big part of our product that we do here. And with Brexit, that could become very complicated at best and potentially very expensive at best, which could be very tricky for us to manage because we're a very small business. And at worst, if we have a no deal, a lot of our honeys may get stuck for who knows how long. Yeah, months and months potentially.
Samantha Wallace there. Kai is live from our studios later on. And remember, you can find our show, his show, and all the stuff about Brexit, including answers to your questions on both bbc.com and marketplace.org and the Marketplace APM Instagram feed. In Brazil, the collapse in January of a tailing dam, a huge earthen structure used to store toxic waste from mining, killed 308 people in Brumadinho, and it caused the worst industrial disaster in the country's history. Now, Brazil still has more than 80 such dams, and while the community in Brumadinho is counting the cost in human lives, across the country, other communities are also grappling with the economic fallout. The BBC's Daniel Gallas reports.
It was a rainy Saturday evening in Macacos, a beautiful village. The place was packed. Tourists who come here for adventure and some of the best hotels and restaurants in the area. But at 8 o'clock, life in this place changed forever.
Attention, this is a real emergency. A dam has just broken. Evacuate immediately from your homes, follow the exit route to a safe place, and await further instructions.
Jerusa França owns a cafe in Macacos.
Olha, é até difícil explicar.
It was a mess. My cafe was full. The city was full. When the sirens went off, everyone panicked.
Macacos lies beneath a tailing dam used by mining giant Vale. The whole thing, it turned out, was a false alarm, but now the local economy is dead. In the neighboring town of Itabirito, the mayor, Alex Salvador, tells me the town is already living a nightmare.
Our initial reaction was grief, but now we're desperate. There's no way our life can go back to what it was. We're going to have to make cuts in education, health, street cleaning. 65% of our money comes from mining.
Muito preocupados.
Minas Gerais' state is now in a rush to decommission dozens of tailing dams that hover above cities like dormant volcanoes, ready to erupt at any time. Vale, the world's fourth largest mining company and responsible for two of the worst tragedies in recent history, is decommissioning 10 of its tailing dams. The company declined to record an interview but said in a statement that it is committed 100% to dealing with the aftermath of the tragedy. This is Vale CEO Fabio Schwartzman telling lawmakers last month that his company is a Brazilian jewel and should not be condemned for what he called an accident. He later stepped down temporarily from the company. Many communities want Vale to carry on mining, but their trust in the firm is now gone.
Daniel Gallus in Brazil. Finally, what's the right way to slice a bagel? Check out the hashtag Bagelgate. The St. Louis way of slicing it vertically has unleashed a host of memes. You can send us your favorite one. I'm at BBC Anu Anand. Our hashtag is BBC Marketplace. And you can catch our podcast wherever you get yours. I'm Anu Anand in London with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.